Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Eventually, we're going to get to Luke chapter 4. Amen. How many of you have ever had anybody call you out in a service and say, "Thus says the Lord," or something along that line? Or the Lord would say unto you, sama, blah, blah, whatever. Anybody ever had that happen to you before? Well, I've had that happen many times, and I've seen it happen many times. I've seen it happen to some of you. But you know, one of the interesting things about all of that is I've also heard people say things like, "Well, you know, that guy, brother so-and-so, you know, he prophesied such and such over me, and man, that was 12 years ago, and I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the guy missed it." You ever heard anybody say anything like that? You ever heard? And have you ever? No, don't answer that one. Well, see, that's kind of an issue in the body of Christ, especially in full gospel circles, because you're not going to find things like that happening in non-full gospel circles. So it's kind of an issue in the body of Christ as far as all of that is concerned. People getting words and so forth. Now, for the moment, let's eliminate all of the flaky words. You know, I was in a service one time where the person was teaching about prophecy. And at one point, had two people in the service stand up and then told them, "Go prophesy to this, you prophesy to this one, and you go prophesy to that one." Well, you can't do that. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be mean toward preachers or people that mean well, but you can't do that. Now, I can stand up and I can go to every one of you in here tonight and I can say good things about, I mean, I can look at every one of you in here and I can say, "Well, you know, you are, Marie, you are the righteousness of God," and all that. Okay, well, I'm speaking the word of God to her, but to prophesy / foretell, I cannot do that just because somebody says stand up and go do it. Well, I've seen these things happen before, and people miss God on that, and I'm not ashamed to say so. You can't force the hand of God. Well, we're going to eliminate for the moment flaky prophecies, dumb stuff, and we're going to focus just on the real. Where a person, you know, maybe they have the reputation. There are people like Dick Mills, Kenneth Hagin, Dave Roberson, others, Elaine Homer. They call me out and they say, "Thus saith the Lord," I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay very close attention to what they say, because they are a vine, a tree that is bearing good fruit. And based upon the fruit I see in their lives, I take what they say and I listen to it. Does that mean that it's possible that, or that it's impossible for them to miss it? No, it doesn't mean that. Just like when Bobby Nicholson was here, she stands right up and tells you, "Hey, I can miss it." And it's true. I can miss it myself, personally. Well, when we get called out and somebody says something like, "The Spirit of the Lord would say," and then begin to prophesy things to you. Well, what are you supposed to do with that? Now, let's face it. When somebody comes along and prophesies these things to us, rarely ever are they negative things. And that's not to be critical, it's just rarely ever are they negative. Because the general purpose for prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the general purpose for prophecy, but every now and then there can be a prophetic warning that goes forth. It happened once here in this church. Severe prophetic warning. And let's take the warnings and let's put them on the shelf. Let's just talk about the good things, okay? Now, when somebody calls you out and says, "Thus saith the Lord," what are you supposed to do with this? Because there are some people that are still waiting years and years and years later for "Thus saith the Lord" to come to pass. And it can become very frustrating. It can become something that, you can get to the point to where you think the person that said it is a false prophet. And I've heard that. Well, you know, this brother so-and-so that was there in our church, you know, he called me out and he said thus and thus and this and this. And I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what's going on. It's like, well, okay. Number one, I know the man you're talking about, not personally, but from being in enough services, I know the man's reputation, and I trust him. If he said something, then my tendency is to believe he got it from God. Now, just because you haven't seen it manifest doesn't mean the guy missed it. There could be other things involved here. Well, we're going to talk about that, because what happens so many times when these prophecies go forth, people have a tendency to listen and smile because it's good stuff and walk away from the service, maybe tell their friends, you know, "Boy, that guy called me out and he said this and that, whatever." And after a few days, that's kind of pretty much the end of it. Then the guy comes back in town a year later and they show up at the service hoping to get another word from the Lord. Because, you know, the last time that guy was here, he called me out. Boy, he spoke some things. I believe what he said was such and such and such and such. And man, I'm telling you what, you know, I'm going to be there because he might call me out again. And let's face it, if that happens once to us and these great flowery things are spoken over us, we kind of hope it happens again, don't we? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like when they start moving around, when it comes to the prophecy part of the service, the calling out part of the service, you know, we kind of sit there. For one thing, we want to make sure we get there early so we can sit near the front, because it's going to be a whole lot easier if we sit near the front. They can see us easier. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got the odds are in my favor to be called out if I'm sitting near the front, and especially if I'm sitting on the aisle. Because they just seem to get called out more. Front row or aisle, near the front. And so when they start calling people out, here we go. That person over there gets called out, and they get ministered to, and boom, fall out in the spirit. And so then the minister walks around, and we kind of, you know, like, if I can make eye contact, might even try to help him. Excuse me. Because he looks. Maybe wear a whole lot of perfume. So, you know. We try to, you know, work the preacher. We try to do it very subtly, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We do it very subtly. I used to be like that. And then I kind of, you know, got a little worried. I thought, what if the guy really does read my mail? So I stopped making eye contact. This is no joke. We were at a service. It was a camp meeting. And the guy that was ministering has a very good reputation. It was the first time I'd ever been in service with this man. And I really liked what I heard and what I saw. And I appreciated his ministry. some of the congregation may not have, because part of his message stomped the bejeebers out of the denominational traditions of the denomination in which he was a part. But because of his international reputation, they're not about to do anything to the man. So he starts moving through the crowd, calling people out, you know, thus and such and such and all that. Well, now this is a sanctuary that, you know, hold about 2,000 people. He starts coming down the aisle where I was sitting, Kathy and I were sitting. It was toward the back because the place was packed and, you know, we didn't get there very early. So we're sitting toward the back. Well, he's coming down the aisle and he's, you know, called this one out, you know, well, the Lord and mine, you know, boom, ha ha, down you go. So I'm doing this. I'm looking down. I am not making eye contact with this man. I am not going to make it easy for this man. He's going to call me out. It's going to be God. No joke. I sat there like this. Just doing. This was not that long ago either. And I've gotten to that point now to where I'm not going to beg for a prophecy. So I'm sitting there like this, you know, my head down and kind of just, you know, looking around. Man, he walks up and I could see him out of the corner of my eye and stops right next to where I was sitting. And he says, "You." I kind of looked up. "Yeah, you." "You and your wife, stand up." It's like, okay. Well, you know, he had us stand out in the aisle and he starts, you know, speaking things to us. And this guy has a reputation to where when he ministers to you, I mean, this is just the way he does it. He'll speak a word, you know, the Lord giving him a word for him. Then he takes his Bible and he goes, and he rubs it on you like that. Man, I saw him. He would take his Bible and do this on these people's heads. You'd have thought they got hit with 1,000 volts of electricity. Boom, they would shoot back. And there's no way he was doing it with his Bible. Now, you can criticize it if you want to. That's just the way he does it. Well, man, he got me good. He opened his Bible. I mean, I'm standing there receiving the word from God, and he opens his Bible and goes, and he rubs it all over my face. I didn't have much of a chance. I mean, I don't know if it was the anointing or the man pushed me off balance, but I went down. And so we get in these church services, and these things can happen to us. We get called out, we get a word, and it's a good word. But you know what? Let me ask you something. I just want you to think to yourself, those of you that have been called out before, and thus saith God, the Spirit of the Lord would say unto you, how many of you right now can remember anything at all about the last word you were given? All right, let me ask you this question. How many of you know where to find the last word you were given? That's not too bad. Those of you listening to this by tape, you're included. Most people can't remember, and most people don't know where to find it. That's because we take it so lightly. We get this word, and then we just sit back and hope it's going to happen. We just sit back and figure, well, you know, God gave me a word, so I guess he's going to do it. Well, what is prophecy? Well, you know, we could spend a long time defining the word prophecy. Prophecy is essentially speaking the mind of God. Now, that's a pretty, maybe simplistic explanation, but it's the essence of prophecy. In fact, what's interesting, you know, your Bible? Your Bible is a form of prophecy. Not just Isaiah and Jeremiah. The entire Bible is a form of prophecy. It is the written version of what was spoken in some way, shape, or form as the mind of God. And so from that perspective, the Bible is prophecy, because prophecy is not just foretelling the future. Thus saith the Lord, you know, in 2 years, these things will be taking place. That's not just what it is. Prophecy is speaking forth the mind of God. And in a manner of speaking, sermons that are given to the preachers by God, they are a type of prophecy. Now, we're not going to get into talking about the gifts of the Spirit, where it says, you know, prophecy to one by the same Spirit, prophecy and so forth. That's not what we're going to get into tonight. We're going to be kind of broad on this. We're going to be talking about primarily the words that we receive from ministers. Now, prophecy is essentially speaking the mind of God. Now, here's what's interesting. When people get prophesied to, they get called out in a service. And I know you guys can relate with me about this. Sir, would you please stand up? Oh, yeah. God's going to tell me I'm getting $1 million. Man, praise the Lord. Go on, speak it, brother. If it's not like that, you're going to get a promotion on your job or this, you know, things like that. If it's not like that, if it's something like, the Lord just wants you to know that His peace goes with you every day of your life and such, you know, something like that, it's like, oh man, bummer. I wanted something good, you know? Now, you know what I'm saying, okay? I mean, the guy over there, he got prophesied to new car and jewelry, and this one over here, he got prophesied to that he's going to get a big building for his church. What do I get?
The peace of God is with you everywhere you go.
Oh boy, thank you, Jesus. Why can't I get good things too? But it's kind of, I mean, even if we don't really mean it to be like that, we can kind of have that feeling maybe when we get called out. Well, prophecy is speaking the mind of God. Whether that mind for that moment is a foretelling of events to come or edification, exhortation, and comfort for the moment. Whatever the mind of God would be, God knows what you need most. And as long as the person doing the calling out and the speaking forth is listening and hearing God, whatever that person speaks, that's going to be what God wants you to hear for that moment. And if God thinks you need to hear, my peace goes with you everywhere you go, you don't know but what in 3 days the boss might call you in and say, we're eliminating your job. Right then, you need some peace.
That's right.
Well, at the moment, it may not have seemed like much. But God knows what you need. He knows what He wants you to hear. Now, there are people that teach God doesn't speak anymore. You ever heard things taught that heard that? Yeah, certain preachers on the radio say things like that. Well, you know, it's interesting. Because if God doesn't speak anymore, how can you be sure of all the decisions you're making? I mean, how do you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do? Well, I just go by, you know, what seems right. Well, I can understand that. But if you say God doesn't speak anymore, I'm going to have some questions about some of the stuff you preach. Because I'd like to know that I'm preaching what God... When I go and when I get ready to minister the way the Lord wants me to minister, God, what do you want me to preach about? What do you want me to teach about? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to prepare? So forth. If God doesn't speak anymore, I shouldn't be asking those kinds of questions, should I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God does speak. Now, we know that there is never going to be any more Scripture. All right? There's never going to be any more Bible. We know that. But if God still speaks, and listen closely, don't misinterpret this. If God still speaks, from that perspective, what's the difference between what you have recorded in that book and what the man of God says, sir, the Spirit of the Lord says unto you? What's the difference? Now keep in mind, I said there's no more Scripture. But if it is God's Word to you, if it is a word from God, you're not going to write new Bible, but that word, the foundation for that word will be found in the Bible. But that word, if it came straight from the throne of God, if it came straight directly from the mind of God, do you understand? That word can have as much of an impact on you as what has been written down in the Bible. Because we're talking about a word from the Lord. Now, I want to reemphasize again. We are not writing new scripture. And there will not be new scripture. What we're talking about is a word from God. The Bible is a word from God. It has been written down and it has been given to us, and it's not going to be added to. But based upon what has been written in that book, God then can speak through vessel to give something that is pertinent and relative specifically for us, because there is no book in the Bible has your name on it. Now, there is a book in the Bible has my name on it. Well, James, and you too. See, we got a book in the Bible, James. Yeah, he's got one, John. Yeah, he's got a lot of books in there. You got us all whooped. I mean, can you imagine a book of Alice? Turn to Alice chapter 3, verse 7. Well, we're not, you know what I'm saying here, okay? Now, prophecy is a word from God. When we are called out and given a word, that word has to be based on the foundation of Scripture, or it is meaningless and you can toss it. I have known of people who have prophesied husbands and wives to people. Now, it's not wrong to say, you know, the Lord wants you to know that within the next 2 years you're going to meet your future mate. That's different than saying, Lord told me to tell you that you're going to be marrying that man over there. That man over there is already married to somebody. What's God going to do? Kill his wife? Point to this side. I'll point to an empty pew back here. Okay, now something like that, that has absolutely no foundation whatsoever in Scripture. So yeah, it can be possible that a wife or a husband could be prophesied, but not in that vein. All right, now, when it comes to us seeing prophecies fulfilled that we have received, we have a part to play in this. A lot of people don't think that. They think the word goes forth, God has said, my word shall not return void, you know, and all. And so we get a word from the Lord, and God's word doesn't return void, and it will accomplish what He sent it to accomplish. All right? It has already accomplished a major part of what He wanted to accomplish. When you get called out and get a word from the Lord, it has already accomplished a major portion of what it was supposed to accomplish, and that is to reveal to you the mind of God at that moment. Now, what you do with it from that point on is totally up to you. If you have received words from God pertaining to your ministry, pertaining to your job or your family or anything at all, please keep in mind you cannot live any way you want and expect that prophecy to come to pass. You know, you can be called out, you know, sir, the Lord shows me that He's got a powerful call on your life. You're going to minister to many people and touch many lives and all this other. And then go out and smoke dope every night for the next 6 months. Well, dude, God told me I'm going to be a minister or something, man. This is cool. Wonder where I'm going to preach first, man. It won't happen. You can't sit in the bar sloshing down some Jack Daniels say, you're not going to believe this, man. This guy calls me, I'm going to be a preacher. That's right. Bless God. I'm going to be a preacher. Set me up. So I'm going to be a preacher. It. What'd you say? Yes. Ah. Chairs for the preacher. I'll drink to that. The people shouldn't have been absent tonight, should they? You can't just live any way you want and expect the Word of God to come to pass. It won't happen. God's perfect will is not going to be accomplished in somebody who's straddling the fence, just living any old way that they want to. It won't happen. A word from the Lord is a revelation of God's mind, His will for you. But that doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. And there are many people who have felt as though, you know, sister so-and-so called me out and gave me a word from God 15 years ago and the thing never came to pass. Well, that woman's a false prophet. I'll never go to one of her services again. Well, maybe she is a false prophet. I don't know. But what have you done with that word since you got it? Well, I've been waiting for it to come to pass. Okay. But how have you been waiting? What have you done with this? Now, here in Luke chapter 4, I want you to see something. One of the things that we have to do, or should do, in order to see a prophecy come to pass in our lives, is to prophesy to the prophecy. To prophesy to the prophecy. You're going to understand what that means in just a moment. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus stands up. Well, I'll tell you what. Look in verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.'" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." All right, now let's look at this. When we read this, we get down to verse 27, and at the end of verse 27 there's a period, and the period is probably in red. It appears as though, as we read this, Jesus had finished speaking, because the next verse says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Now, what we are doing is reading events not exactly as they happened. What we are reading is the best way these events could be described. Let me explain. If you were telling something to somebody and you were trying to describe what took place, say, example, you're at a baseball game and you're watching, a guy hits the ball, and you say, okay, the pitcher pitched the ball and the batter swung and he hit the ball out to right field and he took off running to first base and he rounded first base and headed to second. Well, the right fielder fielded the ball and threw it to second base. And the batter went running to second base and slid into second base. The shortstop caught the ball and went to tag the runner. All right, now what we've done is we've described events the best way we knew to describe them. But essentially the whole thing was happening all at the same time. Because when the right fielder got the ball, the runner was not already at second base. The runner was in the process of running. So we interrupted our story to tell you, we interrupted our story of the batter to tell you what was happening with the right fielder. In this, Jesus reads this prophecy and he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in all your ears. Now in verse 22 it says, and all bear him witness and wonder to the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? He didn't stop in verse 21 and wait for them to say that, and after they had said that, he jumps back in at verse 23. In other words, Jesus is standing up there and he is speaking these things, and Luke, writing this, is explaining to us what was going on while Jesus was standing up preaching, speaking to the people. While Jesus was in the midst of saying all the things that he was saying, the people, verse 22, they were listening and they were whispering to each other, isn't this Joseph's son? Where does he get this? This is Joseph's son. While Jesus was speaking these things, verse 28 was happening. They were listening to him and they were being filled with wrath. Now, if you read the flow of what Jesus was speaking, what is probably written in red in your Bible, when you get to verse 27, the way this is written, it implies that Jesus was not finished speaking to these people. It implies that he had more to say. But by the time he got to the end of what he was saying, there, verse 27, these people were so filled with anger at him for saying it, because in essence what he was telling them was this: you Jews think that all these years you've had a lock on God. Well, I want you to know a change is coming, and I'm going to give you an example of the change. When all these things were happening, you know, with the widow and with Naaman and so forth, it wasn't the Jews that received the blessing, it were the Gentiles. It was the Gentiles that received these blessings, and it's going to continue like this, and the blessings that you have experienced, God's no respecter of persons, he's going to be pouring out upon the Gentiles the same kind of things that you people have been, and he was coming to a point. He was trying to lead them into something, but they couldn't handle it because, bless God, we're Jews, and you're not going to tell us that God's going to have any kind of respect for the Gentiles, the Syrians, and all these other. It's not going to happen, Jesus. And so they charged him in the middle of the guy's sermon. They charged the pulpit, grabbed him, dragged him out of the city, and they were going to kill him. They're going to throw him down over the hill, and generally, what they did with somebody when they threw them down the hill, they stoned them afterward. They threw you down the hill, you hit the bottom. You didn't roll, they threw you over. You hit the bottom, it knocked the breath out of you, so you couldn't get up and run. Then they'd take stones and they would kill you. That's what they were going to do to Jesus. Now, what Jesus said here in verse 18 began saying, this comes from a prophecy in Isaiah 61. Now, keeping your finger here in Luke, I want you to turn back to Isaiah 61 and see this. And we can get an idea or a clue as to where Jesus may have been headed in this sermon if he hadn't been interrupted. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give beauty, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now look at this fifth verse. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. He was headed toward this. In other words, Gentiles are going to be the instructors of the Jews when it comes to the things of righteousness. These people knew where he was headed in this because they had heard this read on more than one occasion. And he stands up and says, "This day is this fulfilled right before your eyes." In other words, Jews, all that you've hoped in, it's coming to an end. And there's a new relationship on the horizon. Well, they couldn't handle it. They said, "Well, we'll just fix that. We'll just kill this guy, and that'll be the end of it." Well, you know, eventually they did kill him. Little did they know, that was the beginning of it. Hallelujah. Well, we won't take the time to read the rest of that 61st chapter, but I would encourage you to do that to get an idea of the kinds of things that Jesus was going to have in his sermon that day if those people hadn't messed him up. But now here's what I'm trying to get at. That prophecy, we know that prophecy in part, over there in Isaiah 61, was speaking of Jesus. All right? Now Jesus stands up. Now let me ask you something. Back when Isaiah received this and wrote it down, was it the mind of God? Well, obviously it was, because it's in the Bible. That was the mind of God. What did Jesus do with it? He stood up and he prophesied to the prophecy. It was the Word of God. Centuries had passed, and Jesus stands up and he says, "This day." He first prophesied to the prophecy that had been given, and he says, "This day it is fulfilled. This day it's come to pass." Now, when it comes to us and these prophecies, these words that we receive, we also have a responsibility to prophesy to the prophecy. Now turn over to Romans chapter 10. I'll give you a very simple illustration of this. Romans chapter 10. Now here in Romans chapter 10, take a look at verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now let me ask you, Romans 10, 9 and 10, what we've just read, is that the mind of God? Yes, that's the mind of God. That is his intention. That is his will. Now, this is, believe it or not, a prophecy. Look at it again. "If thou shalt, then thou shalt." All right? This is a prophecy. It's telling you something that can happen in your life. Well, we know it's God's will for everybody to be born again. But unless we prophesy to this prophecy, we cannot be born again. What do you mean by that? Well, verse 10. For with the heart mouth the man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when I believe in my heart, when I come to this place to where I believe in my heart, then what I do is I take this prophecy. This is the mind of God. It is the will of God. And I, quote, prophesy to that prophecy by speaking forth the very thing that it has declared about me. If thou shalt believe, if thou shalt confess, then thou shalt be. And so what I'm doing then is prophesying or speaking forth the mind and the will of God as it relates to me concerning salvation. When that happens, this prophecy comes to pass in my life. See? And I enter into a born-again life. Now, as it relates to other things, I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Take a look at verse 1. In fact, we'll look at verses 1 and 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, we look at this, and yes, it is Paul declaring, if you will, his credentials. But what is the mind of God for Paul? Well, the mind of God for Paul is, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. What is the mind of God? Verse 11. For Paul to be appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. All right, now this is the mind of God. Every time Paul says this, every time he makes this kind of a declaration, what he is doing is reinforcing the very thing that God had originally spoken over him and to him. I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I am an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher of the Gentiles. This is what I am. I am an apostle of God by the will of God. I am this. I am, you see what I'm saying? The mind of God was, Paul, I want you to be these things right here. Paul takes that and he begins speaking these things over him. And you can go through and read throughout everything that Paul wrote. In every single book that Paul wrote, he makes these declarations about himself. He's continually reinforcing the mind of God for him. All right, now, think for yourself. What are you? What has God called you to be? Well, a lot of people don't know. But let's talk about those for a moment who do know. What has God called you to be? Has He called you to be an evangelist? Has He called you to be in governments? Has He called you to be in helps? Has He, whatever it is. If you know what God has called you to be, how many times have you ever spoken that over yourself? How many times have you ever called yourself what God calls you? And see, right there is a stumbling block when it comes to people fulfilling what they're called to do, because the mind of God is you are a pastor. Paul has given us an example of prophesying to the prophecy, the mind of God, the will of God. And he's referring to himself, he's calling himself this. When we receive a word from God, somebody calls us out. If we take this word and we make that word a part of what we speak, what we're doing is prophesying to the prophecy. We are reinforcing the mind of God, the will of God for us as declared through a mouthpiece of God, the minister who gave this word. Now, this may not seem like it's very important to you, and it may not seem like It means a whole lot. But I want to show you something. Remember back, if I can get it out here. Remember these? Now, you may not realize it. This is a book of prophecy. Give me an example. Let's find one here. Framing the world of your ministry. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, that is the mind of God, is it not?
Yeah.
The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God on my life are without repentance. In Jesus' name, I know and operate in the gifts and calling God has on my life. I'm prophesying to the prophecy. God has already declared for me individually and the body of Christ collectively, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I can't give you a calling. I can't give you a gift. That comes from God. That is God. If God's gift and calling for me is to be an apostle, or if it is to be a prophet, or whatever it would be, the gifts and the calling of God on my life are without repentance. In Jesus' name, I know and operate in the gifts and calling God has on my life. You're prophesying to the prophecy, the revealed mind of God, in this case, not just for the entire body of Christ, but it also applies to you individually. Just like by His stripes you were healed. By His stripes I was healed. That is, see, when that was written, in the realm of the natural, by His stripes you were healed, you weren't even born yet. But it applies to you. Therefore, that verse, God sent His word and healed them, delivered them from all destruction. Jesus took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses and so forth. Now, those things were written before any of us were born. But if they are true for us today, that means they were a prophecy for us way back when they were written. Therefore, when I begin to speak those things over me, what I am doing is prophesying to the prophecy. I am bringing myself into alignment and agreement with what God has revealed unto me as His mind. Now, this is true for anything that we can find in the Bible. All of these different prophecies and these words that are given that God has spoken. See, that's one thing it seems like a lot of people tend to miss is that this Bible, when we read it, there are promises in here. Do you understand that when we get born again, these promises become, or should become, a reality in our lives? These promises are prophecies for us because it is God's mind and will for the body of Christ, revealed hundreds and even thousands of years ago, written down in this book. And so now, when I take these and I begin to speak these things over me, it's not just a matter of me confessing God's word, which we know is very important, but what I'm also doing is I'm prophesying to the prophecy. I'm declaring, I'm saying, because I have a right to do this. I have a right to prophesy about God's will and God's mind for me. God's will and mind for me is that by His stripes I was healed. And so therefore when I begin to speak that, I'm prophesying to that prophecy for it to come to pass in my life. Now the same thing is true for words that we would get in a church service. This is why it's so important that churches document when prophecies go forth. Just like the one that we had earlier. I mean, we are in the infancy stage of working all of this out to consistently transcribe all of the words that are given. And we're getting better in this. We're getting better in this. And God's going to be raising up more people. Eventually, we're going to be set up to where we videotape all of the services. And these things can be identified on the videotape and transcribed and so on and so forth. But when you get a word from somebody, and it's genuine. And you know what? If you just spend time in fellowship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will confirm to your spirit whether or not it's genuine. Because some things can really sound good, but it's really not God. It's just somebody maybe moving by their emotions and, hey, we all mean well, you know? We do. But the Holy Spirit, He'll confirm to you whether or not it's real. But when people give you a word, The best thing you can do is transcribe it. If it's on the tape and the church doesn't transcribe things, get that tape. I don't care if you have to pay $10 for it. Get that tape. Go home. Listen to it. Transcribe it off the tape for yourself. If the church does transcribe words that go forth, create a notebook of all these things. Do something to organize them, either by date, either by topic or subject matter, whatever it would be. Do some way organize them. Don't just shove them in the pockets of the notebook. Some way organize them. Now, I'm going to read something to you. I'm going to use myself here as an example. Let me pull these out. This is an example of a personal word. In a moment, I'm going to give you an example of a corporate word. This is an example of a personal word. Now, Kathy and I were married February 6th, 1982. I got that right, didn't I? Praise God, I get a smoochie tonight. We were married February 6th, 1982. This was given to me, and it dates July 20th, 1982, 12:04 a.m. And was given, the Lord gave it to a lady that was really good friends with my mom and dad, good friends to us too, and someone that, if she says she got a word from God, I receive it. Now listen to this. Almost 20 years ago, listen to this. He is a lighthouse, he is a lighthouse, he is a lighthouse to light the darkest corners. He will be a pillar in the community and a pillar in the church. He is my choice to be a pillar, a staunch supporter of me, to be a leader of the troops. Now, think about that. Now, you know, just from the time that you've known me, what's been going on. You got to remember, 20 years ago, being a preacher was not something I was even thinking about. When she gives this, she called us up, Kathy, there was one for Kathy too, called us up, said, can you guys come over? And they had dinner for us and all this, and she said, you know, the Lord gave this and I want to give you a copy of it. Now, see, you hear this and you think, okay, well, so what? Hey, 20 years ago when I wasn't thinking of being a preacher and I'm getting this to be a leader of the troops, a lighthouse, a pillar, a staunch supporter of me, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, I trust you, ma'am, but man, I don't know about this. Can you see in this that God was speaking? I think God held on to this. I think God held on to this. Now, let me read one to you that is a corporate word. It took place here. Now, y'all know what the date is today, all right? This was given back in April of 2000. Now, I want you to think about things that have happened just in this year. This was given in April of 2000. There are some people in the church who are too Baptist for me to do anything with. Anybody remember this one? Starting to. There are some people in the church who are too Baptist for me to do anything with. There are also some people who have elevated the institution known as Harvest Church above my will. The stubborn hearts of those who cling to their past will be the stumbling block that keeps this church from going forward. I will not and cannot move when my children are in opposition to me. There are those who have cried out wanting to know, what is the direction for the church? I have been revealing it, but many of you have failed to see. You are wanting me to conform my will to your desires, but your heart must conform to mine. I am going to reveal myself to this church in a way that has never before been seen. You are going to see a side of me and my power you have never seen. I will continue to expose to you the hindrances that have kept you behind. I am answering your prayers, but you fail to see because the answers are not what you want. You will be given a season to change. If your heart has not conformed to mine, then you will have sealed your direction. I have always been here for you and will always be here for you. But your heart must be turned toward me for my will to be accomplished in you. Now that was April of 2000, and think about what's happened since then. Is that powerful or what? Now that's a corporate word. Now, when a corporate word comes forth like that, obviously that wouldn't relate to the church down the road, but it relates to us. When a word like this goes forth, it also should be transcribed and made available to the entire church. The responsibility of the entire church is then to prophesy to the prophecy. Now, what I have done, just to give you an example, I have, as part of my confessions, prophesied over this congregation. And I have said things like, Father, I say in the name of Jesus, the eyes of the understanding of the people in this church are open to know and to understand the hope of your calling and your perfect will for this congregation, for this church. And I say in the name of Jesus, your will shall be accomplished in this place. Nothing shall hinder it, and so on. That's, in other words, I'm prophesying to the prophecy. I am speaking forth the mind and the will of God, because I know those things that I say, that's the mind and the will of God, really, for any congregation on the earth. The eyes of understanding being opened and enlightened to know the hope of the God's calling and the direction and the will that He has for that church. That's something that applies to any congregation. But you see, when I took it and I began to apply it and I began to speak that and prophesy to the prophecy, we begin seeing things coming to pass. Well, now, you take an entire congregation that begins to stand in agreement with a word, that a corporate word that goes forth, and the people in the church stand in agreement with that and begin to prophesy to that prophecy, I'm telling you, things are going to shake loose. Just like the one we received earlier tonight, as far as the worship is concerned, we take that, we get it transcribed, and we see what God's mind is for that. And so then, you know, part of that word that came forth was, you know, for people to suppress the flesh and so forth, and, you know, let the worship come out. See, we can prophesy to that prophecy. We can begin to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, every person that attends Grace Christian Center, they are going to dominate the flesh. They are going to press beyond the flesh. They will worship in spirit. They will worship in truth. Their hearts will open up to you, and their mouths will open up to you. Their hands will be lifted up to you. And Jesus, they're going to worship. See what I'm saying? We're prophesying to the prophecy because God has revealed His mind for us, and now we take that and we make that a part of who we are and what we are intending to do and the direction that we want to go. We begin to prophesy to that prophecy. It comes to pass. But we can sit and do nothing with these things, corporately or individually. You know what? We could be waiting for 50 years and nothing's going to happen. Because when God speaks something, the authority is our mouth. See? Let me show you something. Look over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. So what I'm sharing with you tonight, this is something that the whole body of Christ, the full gospel, we need to hear this. Because there are too many people that get wonderful words, genuine words from God, but they never see anything come to pass. That's because we've not been trained to prophesy to the prophecy. Now in Romans chapter 4, take a look at verse 16. Therefore, it is a faith that by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right, so here we have an example, God Himself prophesying, God Himself calling those things which be not as though they were. He knows what His mind is. He knows what His will is. And so He speaks His mind. He speaks His will. Think about this. God's mind and God's will was for the Savior to come into the world, was it not? And so you go back and you look in the Old Testament, you find these different kind of prophecies about the Savior. Now, maybe you don't know this, but back in Old Testament days, especially once the law was given, in school, the Jewish boys, girls weren't allowed to go to school, it was just the boys. Well, the boys go to school, do you know what they were taught? They were taught the prophecies. I mean, that's part of what they were taught. This was drilled into them, starting at roughly 3 years of age. This was given to them. They grew up. They knew Isaiah 61. That's why these people rose up against Jesus when he stood up there in Luke chapter 4 and begins to quote Isaiah 61 and says, it's fulfilled before your very eyes. They knew these things. They understood these things. And for centuries, these teachers stand up in Hebrew school, and they're teaching all these little boys year in, year out, every school year that comes around, however it was they had their school years. I mean, as these kids are getting older, and these teachers, year after year, class after class, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is, they're prophesying to the prophecy. And guess what? The Messiah came. By the same token, we get a prophecy when we take that word, even if it is a word of correction. If it's a word of correction, it's because there's something in your life God wants changed. Well, maybe you don't want it changed. Or maybe you don't see how you can change it. Or maybe you feel so entrapped, you don't think you can change it. But God's mind has been revealed. His will for you has been revealed in that. Well, you take that and you make that a part of your prophecy. I just use something real simple, something I've never even heard. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Sir, Spirit of the Lord says you need to quit smoking. Well, I've never heard anything like that said, but I'm just using it as an example. All right, now you know it's correction, but it's God's mind and God's will. Now you take that and you make that a part of what you say. You prophesy to that prophecy. Father, you said to me through Brother Smith, at the end of the service that night, Father, you said to me that you wanted me to quit smoking. Therefore, Father, I say I quit smoking in the name of Jesus. See what I said? You're prophesying to that prophecy. Even though 5 minutes before you, 5 seconds before you said that, you just ground out your fifth cigarette of the hour, you're still prophesying to that prophecy. Because that's God's mind and that's God's will for you. And you're taking that and you're applying it to yourself. Now, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. We're in Romans. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6. If God spoke of things that weren't as though they were, that gives us the right to do the same thing. Because when we get born again, we receive His nature. When we receive His nature, it is out of that nature that we speak of things that aren't as though they were. See what I'm saying? So therefore, we have a scriptural right to do this, because as He is, so are we in this world. If that's how He does, then that's how we can do. And even though I may not have seen, I'm not going to stand up here and share about, you know, certain things that I have spoken, because I know what God's will is for me. I know what His plan is. Things that He has revealed to me. And so I speak things in line with that. I'll give you one example. All right, one that you can relate to very easily. Now, you know that God has led me to open Grace Ministries Bible College. And I know this much. God doesn't want that school meeting in a rented facility forever. God said, start the school. And I know the school is supposed to have its own location, its own building, not a rented facility. All right, now, see, I know that. God says, start the school. So now what I'm doing is I am prophesying in line with God's will and God's mind. I said, in the name of Jesus, the school has its own building, furnishings, supplies, equipment, and finances. Because see, that's God's mind. I'm prophesying to that prophecy. He was dealing with me about the school for years back. And the more that it solidified, the more I understood what He wanted. All right, now here in Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 11. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises." Faith and patience. Now, this word patience, it comes from a Greek word that means self-restraint of the mind. In other words, what we do is this. What we don't do. What we don't do is this. Get motivated by a message like this. Walk out of the building speaking all these good things, prophesying to the prophecies that we've received, the words we've received, and so forth. And then the rest of the week, sit around thinking about, it ain't going to happen. It's not. This faith and patience, this word patience, is not just sitting around doing nothing. Sitting around, which is what most people in the body of Christ do when they get a word from God. Sit around and hope that it comes to pass. This faith and patience, this word patience, it's a self-restraint of the mind, meaning that you get your thoughts lined up with what you're saying. So here I am, right now, as we sit here tonight. The school is using a rented facility. All right, I speak of things that aren't as though they were. Now, unless there is a big time move of God between now and the next class night, well, even then, the next class night that comes up, we will still be in that rented facility so that I can make the announcement the school now has its own building. So, I mean, we just wouldn't move it without telling anybody. You know what I'm saying? Put a note on the door, come find us. Walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Walk by faith, not by sight. So we would be in the rented facility to let everybody know we've got our new location. Now, in spite of the fact that I know the next time we have class, it's going to be in that rented facility, and I know that I'm going to be walking into that building, I still say, in the name of Jesus, the school has its own building, has its own facility. All the furnishings, all the equipment, all the supplies, and all the finances necessary for the operation of the school. That is what I'm speaking of, things that in the natural I cannot see. I am prophesying in line with God's word, God's will, God's mind. What He has said, this is what I want. I now am prophesying to the prophecy. Now from this night forward, you can prophesy that same way too, as far as the school is concerned. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, the Grace Ministries Bible College has its own facility that is adequate for everything it needs to accomplish with all the furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances. See what I'm saying? So here we are. We begin prophesying together about such a thing. Now, guys, it's going to happen. Now, I don't know exactly how, but it is going to happen. Some way, it's going to happen. Has to. The school is growing. The school, there are going to be more classes. It has to. You understand, there's got to be a change. This is a no-brainer here. But the same thing applies for every single one of us. When we get a word from God, we can actually begin to create. You know, anybody here have the Grace Christian Center Confessions? Anybody have it with them? With your, okay. Well, you know, you've got yours? We have those confessions that are made on Monday nights. Ladies come together and they go through this list of confessions. Now, I want you to listen to this. Father, I worship You, I glorify You, I praise You. You are not a man that You could lie. All right, now that is Scripture. Now, offhand, I don't recall exactly the verse where that's found, but that is a verse. So this is God. That was written maybe nearly 2,000 years ago. That verse was written, but it was a prophecy for us today. It wasn't just relevant to the people that heard that back then or read that back then. It was true then, it's true today. God was prophesying to the year 2001 that He cannot lie, that it's impossible for Him to lie. And so now, when I stand up and I say this, I'm saying, God, You're not a man that You could lie. What I'm doing, I'm prophesying to that prophecy to me, and what it does, it builds up my faith to know that God's not going to lie to me. You have exalted Your word above Your name. That's Scripture. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never... You see what I'm saying here? We're prophesying, even though the verses in the scripture aren't listed here, we are prophesying to the prophecy. We go down through here and we see these other things that God has said to us collectively as the body of Christ, but it's true for us individually and corporately as a local fellowship. And so we take these things He's given to us and we begin to prophesy to those prophecies. We begin standing in agreement to those, declaring these things are going to come to pass. It's not God's will for our children to die and go to hell. It's not God's will for our daughters to lose their virginity before they're married. It's not God's will for our sons to get messed up on drugs. That is not God's will, see? It's God's will that none perish. That is His mind. So I can take that and I can begin to prophesy that over my family, over my kids, over my daughters, over my sons. God said in the last days, your sons and your daughters shall do what? Prophesy. I can prophesy that my kids are going to prophesy. I say in the name of Jesus, my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. I say the Spirit of God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. Oh, Brother Martin, you can't heal the sick. If you read over there in Luke chapter 8 and you read over there in Luke chapter 10, first off, it says He sent the apostles out and told them, go out there and heal. He gave them power, it says, to cure sickness. Well, yeah, but Brother Martin, that was the apostles. Well, what about the 70. The Bible doesn't call them apostles, but yet it says He told them, go out and heal the sick. Therefore, I can stand up and I can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and do all of those things. Because when you read what Jesus stood up and said, it wasn't just a matter of Him saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me just because I'm the Son of God. He was speaking forth God's mind and God's will for somebody who's got the nature of God on the inside. We prophesy to the prophecy. Regardless of whether it's coming straight out of the Bible or a man or woman anointed of God calls us out and gives us a genuine word from God, we prophesy to the prophecy. We speak of things that we don't see in the natural as though they already exist. And it comes to pass because it's no longer our word, it's God's word. See? When people give you words and you want to see them come to pass, prophesy to the prophecy. It might take a week. It might take a month. It might take 10 years. I don't know what the timetable is. But I can tell you this. If you prophesy to the prophecy and you live in a way that justifies that prophecy coming to pass, you're not earning it with works, you're just living the way that you're supposed to live as a child of God. Guys, it's going to happen. It will happen. And see, every night you lay your head down, you can go to sleep resting knowing it's going to happen. I mean, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be next year. It is going to happen. I prophesy to this prophecy. It's going to happen. Praise God. Stand up.